Good morning and welcome to another episode of Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. This is day 56 of our three-year journey through the Word of God, and day 56 takes us to Matthew chapter 14. And so we're back in the New Testament. What's interesting is our last couple of days in Genesis, we were reading about Jacob and the 12 tribes of Israel. And then we were reading about Esau and the Edomites. And today in this passage, we're going to see reference to both a famous Edomite as well as a reference to the 12 tribes of Israel, although in a way that you probably wouldn't expect. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your word, its power and truth and goodness. Speak to us through your word. Write it on our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 14. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard about the fame of Jesus, and he said to his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him." For Herod had seized John and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because John had been saying to him, "It is not lawful for you to have her." And though he wanted to put him to death, he feared the people because they held him to be a prophet. But when Herod's birthday came, the daughter of Herodias danced before the company and pleased Herod, so that he promised with an oath to give her whatever she might ask. Prompted by her mother, she said, "Give me the head of John the Baptist here on a platter." And the king was sorry, but because of his oaths and his guests, he commanded it to be given. He sent and had John beheaded in prison, and his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl, and she brought it to her mother, and his disciples came and took the body and buried it, and they went and told Jesus. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now, when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and they all ate and were satisfied, and they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the 4th watch of the night he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me!" Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." And when they had crossed over, they came to Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent around to all that region and brought to him all who were sick, and implored him that they might only touch the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it were made well. That's God's word, Matthew chapter 14 in the English Standard Version. As always, we're using ESV.org for our on-screen text display here. Herod the Tetrarch is our famous Edomite. He's the son of Herod the Great, who is from what was known as Idumea during the Roman Empire times, but it's Edom. They're both descendants of Esau. So we were just reading about all the descendants of Esau yesterday in Genesis 36, and now here we're in Matthew 14, and this is one of the chiefs, right? One of the chiefs of the descendants of Esau, except the descendants of Esau are now ruling over the Jewish people, over the Judeans, which isn't the way it was supposed to be, according to what God had said, but the real king, the real one who rules over all as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the son of David, the son of Abraham, the promised offspring to bring blessing to the nations, he is here, and he is the one who is truly in charge. The helplessness, the futility of Herod the Tetrarch is shown in the fact that he ends up being pressured to do something he really doesn't want to do, an evil deed, because a girl, a teenage girl, young woman, dances in a way that pleases him, and he makes an oath to give her whatever she might ask for. And her mother, a wicked woman, who had been married to Herod's brother and then left her husband and married Herod, which was very sinful. You know, Herod the Tetrarch and Philip, they were sons of Herod the Great. And Herodias left Philip and went and married Herod the Tetrarch, probably because he was more powerful, more influential, you know, whatever reason. But it was sinful. It was unlawful for this to happen. And John the Baptist confronted them, and she didn't like it. She didn't like being called out for her sin by the prophet, and so she gets her daughter to dance, and then John the Baptist ends up being beheaded. What an evil, wicked act. But it shows, it's here to show us the impotency of Herod the Tetrarch. He's the king. He's the ruler. Oh, he's a helpless slave to sin. Anybody who's a slave to sin is completely powerless, no matter how much honor and wealth the world may heap upon them, no matter how much, you know, influence and fame they may have. The contrast to that is Jesus here. And Jesus is shown feeding a crowd of 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish, and then walking on the sea at night and commanding the wind and the waves. He is the one who is truly full of power and glory, and he uses his power and glory to bless and to do good, not to curse and to do evil. He feeds 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish, and they pick up, what do they pick up? They pick up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces. That's not a coincidence. Nothing's ever a coincidence in God's word. 12 baskets full is a sign that Jesus is the one who is sufficient to meet all the needs of the 12 tribes of Israel. So we were reading about the 12 descendants of Jacob day before yesterday in Genesis 35. Jesus is the one who comes, and he has sufficient power to meet the needs of the 12 tribes of Israel, but also of all the nations, including the Edomites and the Americans and everybody else in the world. But Jesus is, notice what he does twice in this passage, is he seeks to get alone so that he can pray to his Father. Jesus is living in fellowship with his Father, depending upon his Father, pleasing his Father in everything. So twice he goes away to spend time in prayer with his Father. And after the second time, he comes back from praying to his Father. And of course, the disciples are way out on the water with the boat because he sent them away. And so he just walks to them. I mean, to Jesus, water is no different from land. He's the king of all creation. He's the Lord of it all. Nothing's ever too difficult for him. And so he comes, and they're terrified. They think it's a ghost because they have no faith. And Jesus says, don't be afraid. It's I. It is I. It's a very, very important expression there. It is I. That's really how God identifies himself. I am who I am. Take heart, the great I am is here. Do not be afraid. And Peter says, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And so Jesus says, come. And Peter gets out. He starts to walk, but he takes his eyes off of Jesus, and he sees the wind and he sees the waves. He begins to be afraid. He begins to think with his rational, human, limited perspective. He begins to lose sight of who he really is serving, and he begins to sink. And he says the best thing, this is, I think, the best thing Peter ever says in his life before Pentecost, and that is he says quite simply and quite powerfully, Lord, save me. That's what we all need to say. When we get caught up in ourselves, when we're thinking about things from a limited human perspective, when we lose our faith, when we lose our focus on Jesus, when we get overwhelmed by our circumstances, when we start to sink, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. And that's a prayer the Lord is always pleased to answer. And so Jesus saves him and says, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? If Peter had kept his eyes on Jesus and believed, Jesus would have walked with him on the water. But Peter needed to be rescued. And he learns. He learns. Those in the boat worship and they say, truly you are the Son of God. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, you are so wonderful, full of life and full of power, full of grace, full of glory. Help us to see you with eyes of faith. Help us to trust you with hearts that are full of love for you because of your love for us. Keep us from self-reliance. Keep us from doubt. Keep us from distraction. Keep us from fear. Help us to love you even as you have loved us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you so much for joining me. We're going to continue on. Tomorrow we're going to jump back to Genesis, Genesis chapter 37. Hope you can join us. Have a blessed day in the Lord.